Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, plenty of sunshine. We'll have a high near 73 degrees. Kenosha right now, 49. It's 50 in Burlington, 52 Milwaukee, and 51 in Racine. Coming up on November the 7th, Corey Mason will become the next mayor of the city of Racine after beating longtime Alderman Sandy Widener in yesterday's special mayoral election.
Thrilled and excited, really humbled and honored to have the support of the voters of the city of Racine, and really excited about getting to work to rebuild the middle class here in our city.
Alderman Widener said she believes that she was able to get her message out despite the loss.
We brought the issues out, and I don't think people are going to forget what those issues are. And I think they're going to hold the council and whoever is sitting in the mayor's seat accountable for the decisions that they're making based on the issues.
According to the unofficial totals, Mason got 5,356 votes, Widener 4,392. Mason will eventually be resigning from the state assembly to take over the mayor's job. Alderman Widener said she will also be leaving the council, saying she will not be seeking a re-election bid next April. The numbers from Tuesday's special election won't be finalized until given certification by the Board of Canvassers. A breakdown of those unofficial totals shows that Mayor-elect Corey Mason took 30 out of the total 36 wards in the city. Sandy Widener won her District Number 6, 78 votes in Ward 13, by 62 votes in District 14. Smallest gap was to Sandy Widener's advantage, one vote each in both District 5, Wards 11 and 12. The largest gap, Corey Mason won District 2, Ward 3, by a total of 159 votes, District 2, Ward 4, by 100 votes. The Burlington Common Council, with one dissension, approved joining Racine County Joint Dispatch in the next few months under terms negotiated within the existing contract that now covers east of the interstate municipalities, whose officials will also have to formally accept Burlington into the fold, a move forced by city officials by the July flooding. During Committee of the Whole discussion last night, City Attorney John Belogic explained that the original deal was drawn up by the former assistant, now Racine County Corporation Counsel, Michael Lansdorf, with the intent of minimal changes if needed.
The original draft that I saw had, I think, had a start date for us proposed for November 1 or so. In talking with Michael Lansdorf and Corrine and others, and given the fact that these other municipalities have to process the agreement, you know, through their own governing bodies in due course, you know, I indicated Michael Lansdorf, probably January 1 may very well be a start date for us.
Meanwhile, Alderman Ruth Dowidziak, who cast the only no vote, was concerned about the future of the current dispatchers, suggesting they'd be left hanging by this.
These people are every day wondering if they have a job. And the longer this plays out, the higher their stress levels get, and I get it. So in fairness to them, can we give them an idea of, if we have this January 1st date, we're either going to do this all at once, we're going to phase this out, what, you know, something, can't we give them something?
No public comment at the council's business meeting or any discussion. The contract amendment approved to allow Burlington to join county dispatch, Dowidziak opposed. Alderman Tom Voss was excused from the meeting. Well, it doesn't have a whole lot of flash to it, but Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian calls his proposed budget for next year a practical blueprint that gets the job done. He talked to reporters about it, the mayor saying his only major regret was that he wishes he could have added several new police officers and at least one firefighter. The $80 million budget does include a 2.25% increase in the levy and a 1.5% increase in expenditures.
So we have kept very tight budgets. We have done everything that is possible to provide the public the best service we can under this budget. And basically, I'm pleased with what we were able to accomplish. We did make changes, and we are slowly changing some of the operations on how we do things to improve those operations.
The proposed capital improvement budget includes funding for the reconstruction of 22nd Avenue and a multi-year plan to rebuild 60th Street from 39th Avenue to Green Bay Road, but no funding to build a downtown parking structure. The mayor says he does not foresee any budget battles with the aldermen. And saying that the challenges she faced in crafting a budget for next year were a little bit different than those the village has faced in the past, Sturtevant's administrator Mary Cole presented her proposed spending plan to the village board last night. Biggest challenge in preparing this budget, she said, finding a way to absorb a 5% decrease in equalized value, which caused a $350,000 shortfall in revenue without cutting services.
The main reason for the decrease is the reallocation of land located north of Highway 20 that was attached to the village of Mount Pleasant in 2017 per a previous cooperative boundary agreement that was authorized back in 2004. However, with that, we were able to experience some new growth, 1.1%, which added an additional $39,032 to our levy.
She said despite the 3% increase in the mill rate, the overall tax bill for Sturtevant property owners should remain steady. The proposed budget includes a 22-cent increase in the mill rate to $7.69 per thousand of assessed valuation. There'll be a public hearing on the Sturtevant budget November 7th, final adoption on the 21st. More than 16,000 pounds of chili and soup products being recalled by Kenosha-based Roundy Supermarkets Incorporated because they might be contaminated with hard plastic. The ready-to-eat items produced and packaged October 3rd this year with a sell-by date of December 2nd. No confirmed reports of any adverse reactions due to consumption. Consumers being urged to throw the product away or return it to the place of purchase. Otherwise, contact Roundy's Customer Service Center. The zoo in Racine going to be losing one of its giraffes, but WRJN's Janet Hoff says a younger male is going to be taking its place.
Bo, one of the zoo's Maasai giraffes, will be moving to another as yet unnamed zoo to become a breeding partner with the females currently housed at his new location. The Racine Zoo is a member of the Species Survival Plan for Maasai Giraffes within the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. This year, the AZA's breeding recommendation suggested that Bo be transferred to another zoo in an effort to create a stable and genetically diverse population of Maasai giraffe. Over the past 30 years, giraffe populations in the wild have decreased by 40% because of poaching and habitat fragmentation. Bo is expected to leave Racine by the end of the month. The zoo will receive a 3-year-old male Maasai giraffe after Bo's departure. The zoo also has a giraffe named Mac. Janet Hoff, WRGN News.
Police in Mount Pleasant arresting 22-year-old Andrew Nielsen last night for kicking a firefighter on the South Shore Rescue Squad in the stomach. That during a response on Danbury Lane referenced an adult out of control. Police learning Nielsen was intoxicated, wanted to harm himself, according to a news release. They tried to calm him down. He remained belligerent, refused to comply with officer requests, finally was detained, then escorted out to the rescue squad. After kicking the firefighter, Nielsen then continued causing a disturbance at the hospital, yelling, threatening officers, attempting to escape. Once he was medically cleared, off to the county jail, battery to a firefighter, resisting obstructing, and disorderly conduct. About a year ago, negative attention regarding the Kenosha Bradford End Zone Booster Club and its finances sparked some discussion at the school board meeting. And without naming the club in question this week, board members seem to agree on a few policy adjustments regarding school fundraising. For one thing, board members discussed a letter to the PTAs, the PTOs, and to various booster groups emphasizing the need to follow existing district policies to the T. Board member Mary Snyder felt that the need for a separate message to parents was necessary.
I know a lot of parents who assume if they go to a PTA meeting and they donate money to the PTA, it's going to the school. Right. And in most cases, it is. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong.
Right.
It's just that that excuses us of the liability and makes it clearer, I think, for all the groups besides those that we are not responsible for their finances.
As things stand, outside groups that engage in fundraising activities for the benefit of the district need to get advance permission and submit annual reports. No action ever taken against the leader of that booster club whose actions were called into question a year ago by some parents. The club's leadership, meanwhile, has since changed hands. And the Mount Pleasant Finance Legal License Committee has a 9 o'clock meeting this morning, and among the items on the agenda, these proposed contracts for professional services related to Foxconn, the Cigna Group for environmental and site assessments, real estate underwriting services for appraisal review, appraisal services with Single Source Incorporated, also Pitts Brothers and Associates, G.I. Miesbauer and Associates for relocation services, and Terra Ventures for property management. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, that'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News. 12%.